Good afternoon. Nice to see everyone. I'm Leah Doozy. I'm with USDA ARS at the National Soil Dynamics Lab in Auburn, Alabama. I'm going to present some research that we've done. It's a little bit older. It's from 2004 through 2009, but it's 6 years of data, so that's really a nice data set that we have. This is with Dr. Kip Balcom, who is the agronomist on our team. We're a multidisciplinary team, which is great. We have an agronomist, myself, we have a plant physiologist, and we have an engineer. So it's nice to be able to do some multidisciplinary research. So I'm going to be talking about cotton producers, especially in Alabama, are looking for production methods to meet their conservation goals, which is reduced erosion, better infiltration. We need to look for ways to help with water in the summer when we have lower rainfall. And also they want to maintain their yields and increase their net returns. So the objective of this research was to evaluate the yield potential and profitability of cotton production in a cotton-corn rotation using a conservation system in Alabama. Part of this data has been published. The cover crop biomass and soil carbon sequestration was published in an article in 2013 in the Soil Science Society of America Journal by Dr. Balcom and his co-authors. So just a little bit about the materials and methods. Like I said, this was 6 years of data from 04 to 09. It's dryland cotton and corn. In a minute, I'll show you where the site was located, but corn in Alabama on dry lands doesn't always do very well, so the corn data looked a little different than the cotton data, so luckily I'm only talking about the cotton data. And so this was at the Prattville Agricultural Research Unit in Prattville, Alabama. It's a 4x3 factorial treatment in a randomized complete block with four replications. We had four tillage treatments, a no-till, a fall paratill, a one-pass fall paratill, one-pass spring paratill, and then a spring strip till. So these are all considered conservation tillage. We didn't have a conventional tillage system. We also had what I consider three cover crops, our corn residue, so cotton was planted into corn residue or the fallow treatment, a cereal rye and a winter wheat. The seeding rate for the winter wheat and the cereal rye were both 90 pounds per acre. Most of our conservation systems that we use at the lab and our research are high management, high residue cover crops. So at a 90 pound per acre, we have a lot of biomass, and I'll show you that in just a minute. And then we fertilize our rye cover crop and our wheat cover crop with 30 pounds of nitrogen per acre. We use a dual termination process of a chemical pass with glyphosate, and then usually glyphosate. We can use other chemicals, but in this particular study, we used glyphosate. And then we use a mechanical roller termination that's been developed by Dr. Ted Kornicki. He has been working with that. And so we use a chemical pass and a mechanical pass to terminate our cover crops to make a mat, and then we strip or plant into that cover crop. So this is just an example of where it's located. So the experiment was located here in Autauga County. Here's Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Florida. This is where the soil type is located that this experiment was on. You can see it's located primarily in southwestern Alabama and southeastern Mississippi. It's the predominant soil type in this area, but it's not our traditional coastal plains where we have a lot of cotton over in this area of Alabama and also up in northern Alabama. So it's predominantly in this area. This is just an example of the experimental site, and you can see the soil there. So my treatment costs, I use a partial budgeting approach, so I only looked at variable treatment costs. So for example, tillage, no-till was my base, so it had a zero cost. Strip till, $4.66 an acre. Fall and spring paratill had the same cost. It was just different timing of the paratill operation. It was $8.82. The cover crops, our cover crops are expensive because we use 90 pounds of rye. Rye right now is about 58 cents per pound in Alabama, which is higher than it has been. So I used current costs for our cover crops. So it's $88 for rye and $66 for wheat. This doesn't include the glyphosate pass, because we also use glyphosate to kill any winter weeds on our no-cover treatment. I also included variable yield costs that vary with yield. So ginning costs were also included. And we did have turnout for this experiment. So this is, we had the turnout differed by treatment. But I'm not going to talk about that in this presentation. Just to give you an idea of when everything was planted, planting date for the cover crop ranged from late October, as you can see in 2000, this would be 2004, 2005. So from October 2004 was when the cover crop was planted. That was the earliest it would have been planted. And the latest we planted it was down here in 2007, and that was in November the 29th, the end of November. And so we terminate about 2 to 3 weeks prior to planting. So we terminated in April. And then we went back in and planted in May. Obviously, you can see sometimes that doesn't work out as well. Like here in 2007, we terminated and then we planted pretty soon after that. But we like to go in 2 to 3 weeks after we terminate our cover crop and plant into that so that we don't have any competition between the cover crop and our commodity crop. This is just an idea of rainfall. As you can see here, this is cumulative rainfall from days since planting. So 2006 and 2007 were very dry years in Alabama, which is why the corn data didn't turn out very well. And you'll see that reflected in the cotton yields as well. So 2006 and 2007 were relatively dry years. We only had about 12 inches of rain from planting in 2006 and about the same in 2007. We went through long stretches where we didn't get any rain, which caused us to have lower yields. These are just average yields for the the orange is Alabama average yields for the count for the whole state. So you can see in 2004 we had about 700 pounds per acre. That pretty much you can see 2006 and 2007 were lower for the state. They were also lower for the county, and the experiment had lower yields. We had really high yields in the experiment in 2005 of 1,300 pounds per acre. So this is just an idea of our biomass. This, we are looking to get as much biomass as we can to help suppress weeds, help keep the soil moisture. In 5 out of 6 years, biomass was greater than what we consider a minimum of what we like to see, which is 4,000 pounds per acre. As you can see, in 2006, we had the rye had over 10,000 pounds per acre of biomass, which we have to manage, and sometimes that's easier said than done. As expected, the rye biomass was greater than wheat biomass in 5 out of 6 years. In 2008, we had higher wheat biomass than rye biomass, which is not obviously not the norm. We have usually have our rye higher than our wheat. So for cotton lint, this just plays in, just sets us up kind of to look at net returns above variable treatment costs. All tillage treatments were considered conservation tillage. There isn't a conventional tillage. There was no significant difference between tillage treatments in 3 out of the 6 years. In 2006, the year with the least amount of rainfall, the no-till treatment did have a statistically higher average yield than in the other three treatments. You can see that there's not a lot of difference between the, so 3 out of 6 years there was no statistical difference. But in the years that there were, it kind of differed. So in 2005, spring strip till and spring paratill had no statistical difference between yields. And then in 2006, no-till had the highest yields. And then in 2009, there was no statistical difference between fall paratill and spring paratill. So it really, it wasn't consistent on tillage between years. So now looking at net returns above variable treatment costs by year and by tillage, the results are very similar as the cotton lint yields. So you can see in 2000, and there was no statistical difference in 3 years, 3 out of the 6 years. In 2005, we had the net returns above variable treatment costs were there was no statistical difference between fall paratill, spring paratill, and spring strip till. The no-till was lower, just similar to the lint yields. In 2006, no-till had the highest net returns above variable treatment costs, and it was similar in 2009 where you had fall paratill and spring paratill having similar net returns above variable treatment costs. So this is cotton lint year by year and cover crop. There was no, when I, in the statistical analysis shows that there was no interaction between tillage and cover crop for this this research, for this study. So the yields from cover crop treatments were statistically higher than corn residue in 5 out of the 6 years. So it depended on the year, whether it was rye or wheat. Rye had a statistically higher yield in 2004 and 2009. There was no difference between rye and wheat in 6 and 7. And in 2008, the corn residue had a higher statistical yield, and that's the same for corn, too. We had found similar results, and in 2008, with no cover crop did better when it comes to yield. There was no statistical difference between treatments in 2 out of the 6 years for net returns above variable treatment costs. Once again, remember, we're using a cover crop that's high residue. We use a lot of rye seed. It is an expensive cover crop, but in the net returns above variable treatment costs were statistically higher than the corn residue in 2 out of the 6 years, and there was no statistical difference between those cover crops in 2 years. And so, like, in 2005, wheat had a higher net return of variable treatment costs, and in 2007, it did as well. And then in 2008, once again, the corn residue had a higher net return of variable treatment costs. So in conclusion, the use of conservation tillage in a cover crop does provide producers with a production system that can help them reach their conservation goals, as well as maintain or exceed yields and net returns above variable treatment costs from using conservation tillage alone. This is a great data set because it is 6 years, and we do see that it isn't always consistent between wheat and rye or the tillage, but we do see that the conservation tillage and the cover crop do provide benefits to the producer that then carry over into the environmental benefits of increased infiltration that we know goes along with conservation systems. With that, I'll put a plug in. We have a mailing list for our National Soil Dynamics Highlights. It goes over what we do at the lab, some of our research that we do. It talks about our current publications and where we're going to be presenting the meetings that we're going to. So if you're interested, you can just send us an email and we'll put you on that mailing list. We do not spam you, I promise. We only send out it twice a year, or if we do a new fact sheet that we think might be of interest to our mailing list. With that, does anybody have any questions? I'll leave that up in case anybody is interested.